You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome. If you've not been living under a rock, you know that there's a war going on. Yes, not necessarily in terms of missiles and guns, although, well, America is still, I suppose, actively engaged in war against Iraq and Afghanistan. But the war that I'm talking about is more about trade. I've told you 100,000 times, and I will say it again, because the US and China are engaged in a trade war as we speak. As the US-China trade war continues, and as tariff and counter-tariffs are imposed, a new angle emerged earlier this month. Currency manipulation. More specifically, currency manipulation by China. The United States Treasury Department, on the instructions of the president of that country, Donald Trump, still impossible for me to say, officially designated China a currency manipulator. No country has officially been named a currency manipulator by the US since the Clinton administration did the same way back in 1994, again, to China. Trump tweeted on the 5th of August, and I quote, "Based on the historic currency manipulation by China, it is now even more obvious to everyone that Americans are not paying for the tariffs. They're being paid for compliments of China, and the US is taking in tens of billions of dollars. China has always used currency manipulation to steal our businesses and factories, hurt our jobs, depress our workers' wages, and harm our farmers' prices." Unquote. In his usual rather subtle style, almost as subtle as a jackhammer, Donald Trump was indicating that China had devalued its currency, that is the renminbi, and let it drop below the 7 mark against the dollar, dropping to its lowest level in 11 years. As the BBC explained, a weaker yuan makes Chinese exports more competitive or cheaper to buy with foreign currencies. Now, there's a lot of confusion about this, and if you're not an expert in macroeconomics, you might not be able to understand it all, which is precisely the point of this edition of Digging Deeper. On this episode of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we look at this currency manipulation saga. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Money Control,
the Deep Dive podcast series.
Let's start. So, what is all this manipulation drama? Some background first. In 2015, a time when polls had indicated that Hillary Clinton would win the 2016 elections by a landslide and Donald Trump was, to quote Seth Meyers, running as a joke, Trump, in 2015, had made a remark that was lost in all the bombastic outrage that would engulf his campaign and, well, continue well into his presidency. A few months after he launched his campaign for the presidency, when he came down that escalator and changed the life of America as we know it, he wrote in one opinion piece that one of the first things he would do on day one as president would be to label China a currency manipulator. He didn't then, and he failed to follow through with that threat to apply the label in his first 100 days, but he has done so about 2 years later. The latest round of the US-China tiff kicked off on the 1st of August when Trump, upset at the lack of progress at trade talks in Shanghai, took to Twitter to pledge additional tariffs on imports from China. From the 1st of September, he said, Washington would levy a 10% tariff on $300 billion worth of thus far untouched imports. The following Monday, China allowed the yuan's exchange rate to weaken through the psychologically significant 7 yuan to the dollar level for the first time in a decade. Hours later, the US Treasury declared China guilty of currency manipulation, something it had held back from doing for a fairly long time. According to Nikkei Asian Review, and I quote here, at no stage in Trump's presidency has China or any other country met the technical criteria required for a formal designation as a currency manipulator. But on the 5th of August, the People's Bank of China, which has been supporting rather than weakening its currency for the past few years, allowed the yuan to slip below 7 yuan to the dollar, a threshold that has remained in place for more than a decade. Unquote. China's central bank played down the significance of the move, saying that the threshold was not a dam that, having been broken, would not be rebuilt. It said the threshold was more like the level of a reservoir. It is normal for it to rise and fall. Unquote. Hui Feng, who is a senior research fellow at the Griffith Asia Institute in Australia, claimed that China was reluctant to let the yuan depreciate. However, It was forced by the impact of escalating tariffs on exports to the USA. He explained, and I quote, Beijing has implemented a controlled depreciation whenever a new round of tariff hikes was announced, and I don't see any difference this round either. Unquote. Well, from Donald Trump's tweet, it is pretty clear he saw it as out of the ordinary. He even tweeted, for effect, and I quote, Are you listening, Federal Reserve? This is a major violation which will greatly weaken China over time. Unquote. It's another matter, of course, that he's also fighting another war with the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. Quoting at some point, Is Xi Jinping our greater enemy or Jay Powell? But that is another story for another time. At the instance of this tweet that the Treasury Department, at the behest of Trump, officially designated China a currency manipulator. It must be noted that there have been calls over the years, mostly from the left wing of the Democratic Party, but also sporadically from Republicans like Mitt Romney, for the Obama administration to officially designate China as a currency manipulator. Now, Donald Trump has done it. What does it mean? According to a report by Vox, the manipulation designation is a response to China's decision to reduce the value of its currency. That, in turn, was a response to Trump's decision to levy tariffs on a broader range of Chinese goods. That was the result of a breakdown in trade talks in May. And the whole conflict represents two different things tangled together. On the one hand, a growing belief on the part of a wide swath of the American establishment that it is time to take the US-China relationship in a more confrontational direction. And on the other hand, Trump's personal beliefs about trade in general, whatever they may be. A less sympathetic view was expressed by CNBC. Their report went on to say, The onshore yuan fell to levels not seen since February 2008, and the offshore yuan dropped to its weakest since it began trading in the international market around 2010. The recent escalation in trade tensions left analysts and investors wondering how much further Beijing would allow the currency to weaken. The key word here is allow. How much further Beijing would allow the currency to weaken. Why is that the key word? Unlike other major currencies like the American dollar or the Japanese yen, which have a free-floating exchange rate, China maintains strict control of the yuan's rate on the mainland. Every day, the People's Bank of China sets something called a daily midpoint fix, based on the yuan's previous day closing level and quotations taken from interbank dealers. China's central bank also manages the country's complex monetary policy. As CNBC explained, the yuan is allowed to trade within a narrow band of 2% above or below the day's midpoint rate. If it deviates too much, according to some market watchers, the central bank steps in to buy or sell the yuan, putting a lid on its daily volatility. This exchange rate is known as the onshore yuan, or CNY. China's central bank, which is, unsurprisingly, heavily influenced by the government there, sets the daily midpoint to provide direction to the market and guide the currency. The tightly managed onshore yuan, that is CNY, has weakened about 4% against the dollar in August. What is the value of the yuan then within China, you might ask? According to Vox, one thing the Chinese government did was keep its currency artificially cheap, and that means Chinese people had less purchasing power to buy foreign-made goods and that the foreigners could buy Chinese goods more cheaply. It was, in effect, a tax on Chinese workers that served to subsidize Chinese export-oriented factories. The purpose of the policy was twofold. Number one, to avoid falling into a recession during the global financial crisis and to help China build up its long-term industrial capacity. The cheap exchange rate policy was not necessarily a good idea. It had the impact of keeping the bulk of the citizens of what is still a relatively poor country artificially poorer. But it did work in the sense of achieving its main objectives. That is, avoid falling into a recession and to help China build up its long-term industrial capacity. There's also something known as the offshore yuan. We spoke about the onshore one. There's also the offshore one. And that trades mostly in Hong Kong, as well as in Singapore, London, and New York. The offshore yuan is not strictly controlled. Market supply and demand influence the offshore yuan's exchange rate, but volumes traded are comparatively smaller. Experts say the People's Bank of China wants to keep the spread between the onshore and offshore yuan narrow, since they're technically the same currency. CNBC explained that when the offshore rate deviates too far from the onshore figure, the central bank will intervene to dampen volatility and prop up the currency using its vast foreign exchange reserves, which was more than $3 trillion as of July. The People's Bank of China also relies on state-owned banks to enter the offshore market and swap dollars for yuan. To prevent this offshore yuan from depreciating too fast, the People's Bank of China issues short-term yuan-dominated denominated bills in Hong Kong that essentially mop up liquidity from the market and raise borrowing costs for the yuan, making it more expensive for the people to short the renminbi. Renminbi is, of course, the official name of the yuan. That said, China did really indulge in a fair bit of currency manipulation between 2003 and 2013-14. But by the end of the Obama administration, the situation had reversed. Chinese people were trying to take financial resources out of that country, which was putting downward pressure on the value of China's currency, and the government was intervening to stop that. With the trade war since March 2018, Trump's policies have hurt Chinese export-oriented businesses. That has put further downward pressure on the value of the yuan. So what did the recent devaluation do? Well, the Chinese government, unlike earlier, did not step in to prop up the currency. It is not going down because the Chinese are trying to defy Trump. It is dropping because Trump is trying to stick it to them. The PBOC claimed that the slump in the yuan was driven by, quote, unilateralism and trade protectionism measures and the imposition of tariff increases on China. So now that the US has designated China as a currency manipulator, what does this designation actually mean? The New York Times reported that twice a year, the US Treasury Department releases a report that analyzes whether countries are manipulating their currencies. In May of this year, it criticized China's practices but said China met only one of several criteria for determining whether a country was a manipulator. The New York Times added that, according to Ishwar Prasad, who's a former head of the International Monetary Fund's China division, the US government was applying the label in an arbitrary and clearly retaliatory manner. In a report released in July, the IMF also found that China's currency was broadly where it should be. At this point, growing opinion indicates that this is largely symbolism. One BBC report went on to say, and I quote, "The move is largely symbolic because the US is already engaged in trade discussions with China and has implemented tariffs on the country's imports. But it fulfills a presidential campaign promise by Mr. Trump, who pledged to name China a currency manipulator on his first day in office." Unquote. Now, it soothes his base, I guess, that he's taking this stand against China by declaring it a currency manipulator. But does his base truly even understand what currency manipulation means? A lot of educated people don't. And I don't know, I don't want to say too much about Trump's base. Safe to say that they're not exactly graduates in economics. But as far as they're concerned, Trump stood up to China and declared them currency manipulators. As for China's move to let the yuan drop, Stephanie Segal, who is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, told the New York Times, and I quote, "China's willingness to allow the currency to depreciate was likely intended to remind the president of the downsides of escalating actions. If that was the idea, it did not have the desired effect." So the question is, does no one win in this saga of currency manipulation? Michelle Fleury, who's a New York business correspondent for the BBC, had some answers when she said, "The move doesn't change much, not legally speaking, but it is a big deal, accentuating just how fast things have gone south between the two largest economies. When the US Treasury labels a country a currency manipulator, the next step would normally be for negotiations to begin between the two countries. In this case, trade negotiations have already been going on for more than a year. The process also opens the path for America to introduce tariffs. Again, that's already happening as part of Mr. Trump's America First approach to trade. Nobody thinks this will increase the odds of a compromise by the Chinese side when it comes to trade." Unquote. Meanwhile, US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, a lookalike of John Oliver, said, and I quote, "China has a long history of facilitating an undervalued currency through protracted large-scale intervention in the foreign exchange market. In recent days, China has taken concrete steps to devalue its currency while maintaining substantial foreign exchange reserves despite active use of such tools in the past." Unquote. He added that the US will engage with the International Monetary Fund to eliminate the unfair competitive advantage created by China's latest actions. Unquote. One analysis by Vox went on to explain that the claim is that China could be doing more because it has substantial foreign currency reserves to prop up its currency. Even if true, this seems irrelevant on the merits to a manipulation claim. What's more, many China experts believe that this is untrue. Their take is that China is allowing its currency to devalue because the Chinese government is running out of dollars. Or, as economist Christopher Balding went on to tweet, China is very squeezed for USD now. The more difficult the US makes it for Chinese exporters, the more China's currency needs to go down and the worse living standards become for the average Chinese person. That's how the trade war puts pressure on China. So it is possible Trump understands this perfectly well and is just trolling the Chinese government. Or perhaps he doesn't understand anything at all. However, it is also possible that the move reflects him having very little idea of what the actual fallout is, which is a safe thing to assume about everything Trump-related. Should Trump fail to get re-elected, one thing that will define his presidency is that he's obsessed with bilateral trade deficits. One of his election campaign pitches was that the United States was losing hundreds of billions of dollars every year to trade partners. Billions and billions. You know that supercut they've made of him saying billions and billions? He said that many times. So, are the things going to get much worse? That is the question we're asking. Economy-wise, perhaps not. As Tom Holland wrote in his column in the South China Morning Post, Chinese policymakers briefly stopped manipulating the exchange rate of the yuan, and within 24 hours, the United States had turned around and formally designated them currency manipulators, a designation that Beijing has long been anxious to avoid and that Washington has long withheld from making. At the individual level, it could change a few things. Holland went on to explain with the help of t-shirt prices. A three-pack of cotton t-shirts imported from China that sells in an American mall for $10. Now, those t-shirts are typically imported for around $4 a pack. The other $6 covering domestic US distribution, marketing and retail costs, as well as the retailer's profit. A 25% tariff would push the import cost up to $5 a pack from $4, and if fully passed on to customers, would bump up the retail price to $11, which is a noticeable increase. It's big enough potentially to have a negative impact on US consumer sentiment in the run-up to next year's US presidential election. So, after all, it could just backfire. According to Holland, the real significance of this spat is not the near-term effects it might have on trade or even on the currency markets. It makes a meaningful deal on US-China trade relations highly unlikely this year, or indeed before the 2020 US presidential election. And that was everything you needed to know about currency manipulation, what it actually means, how it's going to help or hurt China, help or hurt America, and how these trade wars are unlikely to see an end until at least the 2020 elections. Thank you for joining us.
And finally, a word on our subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, stock analysis, and trading recommendations. You can now subscribe to Money Control Pro for just 289 rupees for a year as part of our independence offer. Use the code FREEDOM, FREEDOM. The offer is valid until the 31st of August for Android and desktop users. You can log on to moneycontrol.com to subscribe.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.